Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today. Save big.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An action-packed hour number 2 of the early line starts now. It's Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside. A lot to get through in this hour. NFL football, college football, and most importantly so, right now, we're talking about the NBA. And not necessarily, Joe, what's actually happening on the court. It's more what's happening off the court. And if you saw yesterday, the big news yesterday, a couple Woj bombs on Twitter. Steve Nash out as head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. We'll start right there. Deserved or not deserved, something had to happen yesterday with the Brooklyn Nets in order to move forward. They figured right now we can't get rid of these players, so right now let's get rid of the head coach. Your thoughts just on Nash being relieved of his duties on the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, congratulations. What do you think is going to happen now? It's the you also got to understand though. The NBA is a stars league. It's not a coaches league. The NFL is a coaching league. Coaches matter way more in the NFL than they do here, obviously, in the association. So we had already heard there were some rumblings about Steve Nash with Durant not liking him. But again, Durant doesn't like anybody, hence the 23 burner accounts. This is a guy here that doesn't like to be called out. You're going to play KT. He wanted to be traded. Donnie Wright, I mean, let's talk about the offseason over here. Everything blows. I want to be traded. Get me out of here. Then when he figured that he had no leverage there, the next thing out of his mouth was, oh, well, Steve Nash has got to go. I want a new coach. Yeah, you want to bring in a buddy of yours. Congratulations. What exactly is that going to help you do with this team as currently constructed? Nothing. In fact, it's more craziness and absolute more distractions than any one NBA team needs at this point. You think the Lakers are bad. The Nets are just like, hold my beer. You want to talk about dysfunction? I got dysfunction for you. And then you're talking about bringing in Udoka, who is which is laughable at this point, because that's even a bigger distraction now than what you had with Steve Nash. I thought Nash was perfect for the job. He didn't mind calling out the stars because he once was a Hall of Fame player in the league. So makes it kind of hard to call out a guy as if he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's been there and done that. But 7 games and you thought Nash was the problem, huh? All right, can't wait to see how this thoroughly gets blown up as the season moves down. And I don't know, what are the odds for not making the playoffs, Donnie? That's where I'm looking for the Nets right now.
I'll tell you, it's pretty incredible when you look at it here too, because when Nash was hired in 2020, The Kyrie Irving quotes were just tremendous. Kyrie, what do you think about Steve Nash as your new coach of the Brooklyn Nets? Well, you know, maybe he's not the coach every night. Maybe one night I'll be the coach. KD will be the guy. I said, wow, this is going to work out really well. Because you're right. If there's one coach that would be able to get through to Kyrie and say, hey, Kyrie, when you have the ball at the top of the key, wait for the forward to come baseline to baseline, and he'll be open after the pick. Man, you never played the sport before. No, I actually played at a 2-time MVP level. Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. But also, from a Kevin Durant perspective, right over the summer, the reports came out. I want Steve Nash fired. I want a new head coach in here. And then yesterday, KD takes the mic after the game. Hey, man, look, I'm shocked.
Like, I loved coming to work every day with Steve Nash here. I can't believe he's going as my head coach. So we don't know what actually is going on with the Nets, but also what's going on with the future of the Nets now? Because there's a two-pronged attack coming here. Who the next head coach is going to be? Right now, Jacques Vaughn's the interim coach. They asked him last night, how long do you expect to be the coach? I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't actually know, because it seems like in a few days, Ime Udoka is going to take over, as we welcome in the radio audience here, listening in and watching on the early line, Sirius XM channel 159, Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, right here on the grid. Like, what is next year? And you're right. Udoka comes over and says, okay, good basketball coach filling into this situation. He's been in Brooklyn before. But there's an elephant in the room of why Udoka is not on the sideline already this year, Joe Ranieri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, just more distractions and more ridiculousness. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's all ego, and it has nothing to do with about the talent or the X's and O's on the court here. It has to do with who likes what, who's getting called out. Frank Vogel had to go through this with LeBron in LA. You get none of the credit and all the blame. I can't think of a more, shall we say, less desirable professional head coaching position than one in the NBA trying to manage the egos of these inflated stars. I don't get it. And by the way, wasn't he the interim coach in 2020 during the why wasn't he given the job then? I don't understand. You should have just gave him the job instead of continuing to put him in a position to clean up the mess that you made by hiring somebody else anyway. It's just total dysfunction with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it's actually been going on. And quickly on this, if we look at the big three on the Nets, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, who's the first to go out of that trio?
Oh, I think Kyrie is, Kyrie is trying to push every button in the world to get out. Durant is not going to be too far behind. And Simmons, I think, he's got to establish himself a little more before anybody else will take a dive in. So, but I think Kyrie is just, he's looking for a way to get out as soon as humanly possible there. And the more this team loses, the uglier it's going to get. It's going to be great reality television.
I got to tell you, if you take a look at the Nets, like, they're going nowhere right now. They're in shambles, no coach, under 500. But yet, in the Eastern Conference on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're priced number 3 overall to win that conference. Amazing stuff in the NBA. As we talked off the court what's going on, let's get back on the court and preview tonight's action in the association. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cruising along in hour number 2 right here on the early line, the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here, bringing that heat. Time to get back on the court tonight with a six-pack of games. Why don't we start in a home-and-home set here? Sounds like a Major League Baseball series, but that's what the NBA does now. Rotation number 501-502, the Washington Wizards and the Philadelphia 76ers. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened this at a -8 price for the Philadelphia 76ers, has since dropped to 7.5, a total listed at 219.5. And Joe, as I look at this game and go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and I pull up player props, particularly points, I don't see any 76ers there. Any question marks, I guess, for the big man, Joel Embiid?
It's always a question mark. I mean, that's the whole question, right? Hey, you betting the Sixers tonight? I don't know. Is Embiid playing? Is he not in playing? And we've got actually a couple of other things working in our favor, too, is that we see the market completely overreact to a star player either showing up on injury porn or the possibility of them not playing. And then, of course, hey, Embiid's not playing tonight. And you watched the totals tank. You watch the line go ridiculous here. And oh, yeah, what happened without Embiid playing against the Wizards just a couple of nights ago? Oh, yeah, by the way, the total went in the tank, and it went over for the game, shocker, because the valuation in the marketplace is amazing. That's where most of the money is made in the NBA, Donnie. It's waiting for the market to overreact for one star player not to be available or question marks. It's absolutely crazy if you can hold off and wait till the very end. They did it a couple of nights ago. Is Embiid going to go tonight? Probably. Does it give Washington a better chance of winning? No, it does not. Maxey's hitting all his shots. Harden's an assist machine now. And then you got the big man under the rim there in Embiid. To me, this is all Sixers, regardless of whether Embiid plays or does not play.
Yeah, how about this one, too? You take a look at James Harden, 22 points, 7 rebounds, and 10 assists a game as an average. Yep. He wasn't lying when he said, Joe, that I'm back in shape and ready to rock this year. We'll see if it pans out for the Sixers, who are 4-4 in the season. Mm. The Washington Wizards, 3-4. Good game tonight in Cleveland. The Boston Celtics head to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. The Celtics, 4-2 on the season. But how about the Cavaliers? 5-1 and a stealthy, nice 3-0 at home. If we set the table for this one here, the FanDuel Sports Sportsbook opened this game up at a -2 price for the hometown team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's now a price of the Boston Celtics at a -2, and that's listed at 221.5. The same thing I'm looking at here for the Philadelphia 76ers-Wizards game. Maybe some question marks who's going to play. There's Donovan Mitchell, the one guy, if he plays, 32.7 assists and 4 rebounds per game. But again, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the only players they're listing, Tatum, Brown, and Horford. So maybe some question marks here for the Cavaliers tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they've won, what, 5 straight after losing the opener. They have been absolutely on fire. They also, this is the second time these two teams are meeting here, I think, in the last 6 or 7 days. As the Cavs, they actually came back and won that game, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe on Thursday or Friday it was in Boston. And, yeah, and Boston doesn't lose at home very often. So the idea that the Cavs were able to put it together and win that game in overtime might have a little revenge on the mind of the Celtics here. This is not your last year's Cleveland Cavaliers team with Donovan Mitchell either. Last year's team played defense. There is absolutely no call for defense here with this Cleveland Cavaliers team right now, Donnie. It's Donovan Mitchell going off, dropping in 32, 34 a night. They're going to outscore you. They're not going to try to limit you. That appears to be where we are right now with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And the first game here for the Boston Celtics, I guess you could say, outside of the Ime Udoka era, which looks like it's going to begin in Brooklyn. We'll see if that plays into it. Trust me, I'm just being facetious. It's not going to play into this game at all tonight overall. But let's keep it moving here on the NBA hard court. Madison Square Garden, the Knicks, Joe Ranieri, played 6 games this year, 3 home, 3 away. That road record, 0-3. In the Garden, 3-0 as they take on the Hawks, 4-3. And one of the things that Knicks fans love is a homecoming for Trae Young, who, by the way, 29-10 on this early season that he is averaging. If we set the table for this one tonight, the Knicks opened up as a 2-point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook, now listed at a -1.5 price. A hearty, hearty total here of 230.5. Trae loves to play in the Garden. Whose night could it be tonight, the Knicks or the Hawks?
Yeah, the Knicks have been on off since Sunday, and they actually blew that game against Cavaliers. They had an opportunity to win it and then folded in the fourth quarter. And meanwhile, you got Atlanta coming off an absolute beatdown the other night against Toronto. They absolutely crushed them. What was it, a 139-109 win? They beat them by 30, Donnie. So both of these teams kind of reeling a little bit. Back-to-back losses for both the Knicks in the Garden. I worry about Atlanta's shooting. I really do. It's going to be Trae Young or not. I think they're still figuring some things out there with DeJounte Murray coming in. It looks good, but another team that doesn't play any defense here, Donnie, the Atlanta Hawks. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I don't know what happened to Thibs. He used to preach defense. I don't think he's preaching defense anymore. I think he's thrown in the towel, Donnie. He's just like, hell it. Just go ahead. Go do what you want to do. Chuck it up. Let's see what happens.
It was like Tom Coughlin back with the Giants. He used to come in the meetings, no hat on, both feet on the ground. Hey, coach, we're going to have a mutiny in here unless I can wear my hat and put my feet on the ground. You know what happened at the end of that season? They won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So listening to the players maybe works out. We'll see if it happens here. Check out this game. Clippers and Rockets, 8 o'clock tip Eastern tonight. The Clippers are 3-4 in the season. The Rockets seem like they're tanking again at 1-7. Yep. But this game, not so much about what's actually going on the court here, but it's about Kawhi Leonard. Like, if we look in other genres here, like, let's just say the Sports Grid Network, whether or not Kevin Walsh shows up here on the show, we don't know. Same thing with Kawhi Leonard. Looks like he's going to be missing many, many games, Joe Rainier. But my favorite part about this is, who's actually calling the shots? Is it Uncle Dennis and Kawhi saying, we'll see you when we see you, Clippers? Or the Clippers in agreement, like, yeah, this is the best way to do it. Let's have you play, I don't know, 20 games this year?
Yeah, as you can tell, Clippers loaded with talent, but they have not had Kawhi, John Wall, Robert Covington available for any consistency early on. But these are veteran-laden teams that understand it is a marathon, not a sprint. So the first month of the season here, Donnie, nobody is going to bend over backwards to try and win games in the month of October and November. So I do think as the season progresses, we'll get more and more of what's going on. But right now, the Clippers can play defense. They can't shoot. Paul George aside, they're having a hard time putting up, getting some points. They barely beat the Rockets a couple of nights ago. They had to hold on for dear life in order to be able to pull that game down. Right now, the Clippers, to me, are an under team. That's where I would always look to bet them until they can get some consistency and figure some things out offensively. The Rockets are young. They like to run. They turn the ball over a ton. It's kind of hard right now to look at the Rockets and think that you're going to get anything more than a fun-filled, oh my God, did he just shoot that kind of game. So under would be my look for these two teams here again tonight.
Yeah, tough scene in the L.A. market, Joe, is neither team can shoot jump shots between the Clippers and the Los Angeles
Amazing.
Lakers. Quickly here on the Pistons and the Bucks. How about this? Pistons 0-4 on the road. The Bucks, a pristine 5-0. A monster line here, double digits for the Bucks. But how about this? Giannis, 34-13-5 on the season. You can't stop this guy.
No, and I don't know why you would bet any other prop in any game other than that one. Just get his PR. Just go over. Just, guys, go over. There's nobody on the Pistons that's going to stop him. He can turn it on, turn it off whenever he wants. It was a big line the other night as well here for Detroit, but I can't see Detroit doing anything except getting in his way and pissing him off. So it would be all Giannis props for me there, Donnie.
Get it up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 82-0. What's the odds there for the Milwaukee Bucks? We'll certainly find out, but you know what's coming up next year. Every Wednesday, our favorite game show. Cash prizes will be awarded. Ooh. I didn't say that. I didn't say it, but I think it might be happening. Let's hear what Joe Rainier has to say. Where these lines are going to close up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two, and we are having some fun here. Just talked a lot about some NBA action over the previous two segments. Now it's time to get back on the gridiron. Every Wednesday, Joe Rainier is with us. We like to guess these lines and give you a primer of what's going to happen this weekend. And oh yes, maybe a game also on Thursday night. Let's take a look at this first one. 309, 310 on the rotation. Thursday night football, Amazon Prime. And by the way, the Phillies and also the Eagles going head-to-head in a game. Who would have thought it this late in the season? Now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, opened this up at 9.5. The bettors, public, sharps, nah. It sits 13.5 this morning. So are we on our way to 14, or is there a buyback for the Houston Texans coming saying, whoa, two touchdowns on a Thursday night? I'll take the dog.
Hell no. But, you know, who in the scheduling department of the NFL looked at these two teams this year and thought, you know what would make a great and real intriguing primetime game? Let me put the 7-0 Eagles here up against the 1-5-1 Houston Texans. By the way, this is, Donnie, over the last 20 years, the largest win percentage disparity in a primetime game. I mean, this is over the top ridiculous. Will it get to 14? Probably. I have no idea in the world who would think about going dog or bust here. I watched Houston last week, Donnie. They have absolutely no intention of winning games. You let Derrick Henry rush again for over 200 yards, the fourth straight game, and you had no answer for it, not even trying to have an answer for it. The Eagles are going to handle business. They're going to do it and win by as many points as they want. It probably will get to 14 and then get bought back down, but what you see is what you get here, guys.
I heard behind the scenes, though, Joe, that Amazon Prime said before we buy a package here on Thursday and pay billions for it, you must have the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans. And once the NFL agreed to that, Amazon picked it up here for us. But I think you're correct. Watching the game last week, and we know it's a week-to-week league in the NFL. I get that. But there was a really good chance where yesterday at the trade deadline, I was saying to myself, if any more pieces move on from the Houston Texans, let's just say Brandon Cooks, there might have been like a legitimate chance that the Eagles might be able to shut out the Houston Texans, because that's how bad. They didn't score a touchdown, so I believe under like 10 seconds to go in the game last week when it was already out of whack. And you're right. That was a Titans team that came in with a rookie quarterback that said, hey, kid, don't throw the football. We're going to win this game maybe by double digits, and they almost did that. Now, talking about double digits as a nice segue here, 453, 454, another road team. Those Buffalo Bills are going to take on the New York Jets. This line opened up at 10.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook as a road favorite for the Bills. They now sit -12.5 in a total of 47.5. Is this just looking at last week's game saying, whoa, like Buffalo is just going to be too much for Zach Wilson, or will there be a buyback and lower this closer to 10?
Yeah, I do think, especially with the news of the additions here for the Buffalo Bills, I do think this is going to creep up here a little bit. The reality is it doesn't make a difference. Buffalo is going to dispatch the New York Jets because of one simple fact. The Jets are not built to come from behind with Zach Wilson at quarterback, right? So the one thing that we know the Bills are going to do is they're going to come out and they're going to go firing. They're going to be up 14-3 before we know it. And then it's going to be tee off time on Zach Wilson. So the Jets are one win away from going over their season win total. It ain't happening this week, but kudos to them for overachieving here this year. But you are not beating the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills double digits. Not they beat Green Bay by 10, and they got Aaron Rodgers. I think they can win by more than double digits here with Zach Wilson as quarterback.
By the way, it's the Meadowlands. It's November. Usually it's cold. It's windy. I'm looking at the forecast, Joe, and I'm not sure if you sent this to me. 74 degrees at kickoff in November for that Jets game. Bring we'll see if we can get some points in that game, because certainly it's not going to be cold. 459, 460. The Green Bay Packers, to me, the biggest loser yesterday at the trade deadline, taking on the Detroit Lions, who to me were also a loser because they lost Hockenson to a fellow division rival. But let's get past that here. This line opened up at -3.5. It currently sits at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -3.5. Are we trusting the Green Bay Packers just as is? It's the Detroit Lions. Aaron Rodgers always handles them. But the one thing we know about the Lions at home, they'll score some points. The one thing we know about the Green Bay Packers, sometimes it feels like they struggle to score some points. Mm-hmm. Will this line continue north 4+, or will we get a buyback to 3 in this game?
So it was 3.5 for a while. We saw it go back to 3. It's not going to go under a field goal. So I think 3s are the best you're going to get here. We know Aaron Rodgers has done pretty well against this team. 18-6 straight up, I think, in his career. He's handled business. Hasn't necessarily been great against the number, but it is a short, it's a short thing. But I don't know. A divisional game with a home underdog this year has been extremely profitable to back the dog. We just saw it with Cleveland, on the primetime game there on Monday night. They were a home dog going up against a division rival there in Cincinnati. They won outright. Tricky spot here. I would tend to lean towards Detroit, but I don't think you're going to get that hook available anymore.
All right, we'll keep moving down south to A-Town as we go. 461, 462, a 1 o'clock kickoff here on Sunday. That's the Chargers and the first place Atlanta Falcons. That's correct. I'm not reading off a teleprompter and saying that can't be right. That is right. The first place Atlanta Falcons. This game opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, at a minus three price. It still sits at a minus three. The total, how about this one? Opening up at 46.5, that one's now 49.5. Marcus Mariota and the boys, a short price at home. My question for you, the Chargers, do they get healthy and play well in this game? We'll see. But where does this line end up? More likely 3.5s or 2.5s here on Sunday?
I think it stays exactly where it is. It's another one of these games where I don't think the hook is going to come into play here. I think at this point, Donnie, you said it, it's kind of stuck in the mud there at 3, and I don't see it moving to, you know, giving either side in the marketplace the opportunity to grab a hook, either 2.5 or 3.5. I think 3 is what you see is what you get, because until we see otherwise from this Chargers team, yikes. It is tough to trust that defense right now. And some of the same problems they had last year, they have this year. We'll see what they can do against a suspect Atlanta defense. But I think the total is what is more likely to go up before kickoff than the actual side itself.
Yeah, we'll see if the Chargers get Keenan Allen back, already down Mike Williams. Mm-hmm. So if you're down both of those wide receivers in this game, it's pretty incredible. But we'll see. Not a lot of believers here in Atlanta as they just keep doing their job. And again, leaders in the NFC South, which is pretty crazy at this point in the season. A 4:05 kickoff Eastern, 467, 468 on the rotation. Seattle and Arizona. Geno Smith and the boys looking to make the playoffs, where for me, at the beginning of the season, said playoffs for the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, I don't think so, but they might be in the driver's seat. And also, Arizona, how about this line? The FanDuel Sportsbook opens at a minus 3.5-point price for the Arizona Cardinals. That's now at minus 2 with a total listed at 50.5. Sometimes you look at Arizona's offense to me and you say, wow, look at them with DeAndre Hopkins. They can get after it. And then another drive goes up like, man, what is Kyler Murray doing out here? And Cliff Kingsbury, get a hold of this football team. Does this line see 3, or are we just going to see this stay below that 3 mark right up till game time?
Yeah, it's, listen, you had mentioned it, 3, 3.5, and it's been nothing but Arizona push. And not, I'm still seeing 80% of the tickets on Seattle, which means this is sharp money coming in here, Donnie, and betting it often. For a Arizona team and Cliff Kingsbury, who 9-15 against the number as a favorite, 1-4 in the division this year, 5-11 ATS as a home favorite. This is not a spot you would look at and go, oh yeah, Cardinals for sure. So you got to ask yourself, why in the hell is so much? Why did all of that money come in on Arizona to begin with? It is going to creep up, I think, back to a field goal before it's all said and done. But I think the market has spoken. The sharps have spoken. They're all over Arizona in this one.
Fascinating game in Florida this weekend. 469, 470 on the rotation, 425. A preview, Joe, right, of the NFC Championship game that's going to take place. Not so fast. Both of these teams could actually miss the playoffs. Who would have thought that before the season started? That's the Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This line opened up at FanDuel at a minus 2.5 price. It's still sitting at a minus 2.5 price. And how about this? Brady and his weapons. Stafford and his weapons. Now, we'll see if Cooper Kupp actually makes it to the starting gate. Let's just say he does. 42.5, Joe Ranieri, is the total. Are you kidding me?
Kind of crazy, isn't it, here? And it's interesting, too, because I am starting to see some 2.5s popping up in the marketplace, which means, Donnie, guess what? The money is coming in on Tom Brady, is coming in away from Tom Brady and going towards the Rams. Amazing. And don't forget, McVay, for some reason, has been really good on the East Coast, 11-5 against the number, coaching in the Eastern time zone. So they aren't great this year, though. 2-5 ATS so far in the season. And that is the worst ATS start of any team, any reigning Super Bowl champion since the, the Eagles in 2018. They were 2-5 as well. But you know that, Don.
Yeah, we know that. It's going to be an interesting season the rest of the way for the majority, including my Philadelphia Eagles. Congratulations on the game show, Joe. You get to pick a prize from door 1, 2, or 3. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to talk some college football right here on the Early Line. A massive weekend ahead as we see the college football rankings are now out. 1 through 4. If it ended today, Tennessee, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson would move on to the playoff, leaving Michigan and TCU as unbeaten and out of the playoff picture. Now, as we know, it's de facto playoffs from here in out because teams will be playing each other, teams will pick up losses, other teams will enter into the equation, but no game that's going to be bigger this weekend or maybe throughout the season depends on if Michigan and Ohio State end up 1-2 possibility of their last game. But Tennessee travels to Athens this weekend to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, before we get into the game itself, I want to talk about this. If you are Georgia and you say, hey, we're the number one team in the rankings here. I just watched a television show that said Tennessee is better than us. Is there any added fuel to the fire for the Georgia Bulldogs? Not that they need it, but that could be some bulletin board material now, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're going to pull out every stop. They are still the defending champs, are they not? Until somebody brings them down. So they are going to be ready to go here. And they know what Tennessee is bringing to the table. I would have a little more faith in Tennessee if they were playing at home. But this is going to be a very interesting set up there with Georgia, the fans behind them, maybe playing the disrespected card too as well with, look at this, everyone's picking against us. We haven't lost, and yet we're looking up at Tennessee. Yeah, statement is going to be made one way or the other with these two teams, Donnie. It's going to be fascinating. Does offense win out or does defense win out? That's the big question in this one. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's good. Also, when you take a look at Tennessee, a little bit tougher road here getting to this game than actually Georgia's had. But Georgia does have the advantage of being at home. So we'll see how it plays out. Both of these offenses, Joe, really get after it. But you're right. It's going to come down to defense. Is this a defense for the Vols that have given up, what, 569 to Alabama, 594 to Florida? Or is this going to be a team that locks in a little bit more? Because if we're going to see a 51-48 type shootout here, the new SEC, as we like to call it, because this total, Joe, listed at 65 and a half at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yep. Now, this line, I know we do the NFL game here. It sits at 8.5. Is the money going to be coming on game day on Tennessee getting closer to 7? Or is Georgia going to be the de facto, hey, they're home, they're supposed to win this game, and if they do, it's probably going to be by double digits?
I think you're going to see 8. I think that's the number across the board. That's what it's going to be at this particular point. So, but keep in mind here, this Georgia defense had issues with the tempo that Kent State brought to the table. If you remember that, Donnie, a couple of games ago, Kent State is a very up-tempo, you know, run a play every 5-6 seconds. In fact, I believe Tennessee averages a play 2 seconds faster than what Kent State does. So they had some issues dealing with that with Kent State, and you know what Josh Heupel and Tennessee are bringing to the table. They are running, hurry up, get to the line, run faster, run fast. So they better be on top of their rotations on who's coming in, who's coming out. And also they lost Nolan Smith, one of their All-American outside linebackers here, Georgia did. So that's a big loss. Going to be fascinating, but I think the market, 8 is probably where we're going to leave at kickoff.
And talking about the market, too, the Heisman Trophy market, which is a few short weeks ago, Hendon Hooker was in the 40-1 range. I look now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, and I see a plus 100 on Hendon Hooker. And I've stated it each and every Wednesday we talk, if Tennessee runs the table, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. He is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner, and this will be a massive statement game. If he can go on the road down to Athens and pick up a victory against the Bulldogs, that's certainly going to go a long way, and he will enter into the minus 200 range if that does take place here. Let's keep moving with some other big-time college football games over the weekend. Now, big-time team here in Ohio State going on the road to take on Northwestern. This line is 37.5. Now, the reason I bring this game up is not because you're going to be interested to watch what goes down at 12 o'clock. Ohio State's going to win this game. But Ohio State firmly sits in that number two spot right here on the college football rankings. But in 3 weeks' time, they're going to be taking on Michigan. Is this a team that's going to be focused, looking to run it up? Or is this, hey, guys, we can win by 1 point the next 4 weeks. As long as we beat Michigan, we're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this the defense of Ohio State, no matter what the offense does, is not going to have an off day against this Northwestern squad. Yep. They are going to win this game, Donnie, by as many as they want. You might start seeing, in the third quarter. We know that Ryan Day don't take his foot off the gas for anybody, including Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern. So it's going to be a bloodbath, but there will never be in any danger of Ohio State, who knows style points matter as well now. So if they win 62-0, so be it. It's all about getting ready and staying top of mind when it comes to that committee moving forward until they get to Michigan.
Let's take a look at TCU, because they're the most intriguing team to me. Not to say that they deserve to get in, or I can't wait to see TCU play, but just the spot they sit in. The initial college football rankings that came out places them seventh and unbeaten. Now, as you said, teams are going to play each other. Some teams are going to lose. They're going to move up de facto as long as they stay unbeaten. But if there is a chance that they're unbeaten, sitting in that 6 or 5 role, so many times we see you have to run teams up the flagpole. And we talk about Texas Tech and TCU this weekend. They're favored by 9.5 TCU. The voters are looking out there going, okay, we know you're unbeaten here. But don't you pull off one of those 31-30 victories where you needed a field goal in the last minute to beat Texas Tech. The voters want to see you pound Texas Tech 34-7, 45-10 if you want to move up. So from a betting angle for yourself, do you look at it that way saying, I see what the spread is here, but there's some outside factors. We're not running the clock out, Joe, inside the red zone up 14 points. We're punching this one in.
Yeah. It's been interesting, to say the least, this rise here for TCU. Thank goodness they were on the road playing a West Virginia defense that could not stop a nosebleed, Donnie. I don't think they could stop you and I, for that matter. That's not necessarily the same situation here with Texas Tech's defense. We know they can throw the ball around. I don't care. Pick any one of the 5 quarterbacks they've used. They, too, can score some points, Texas Tech. But the difference is Texas Tech's defense is not going to be West Virginia. So any sort of letdown here on TCU's side is not going to be easily overcome like it was last week in Morgantown. So this is a tricky spot for TCU this week.
2-loss LSU in Death Valley to take on Alabama. Obviously, the stakes are going to be high here, but it'd be very interesting if Alabama takes a loss, de facto knocking them out of the college football playoff this late. But also, top 10 here in the initial rankings is LSU, where if they win, they could jump a few spots up and maybe be one of those teams that said, hey, we deserve to be one of those 2-loss teams getting in if some helter-skelter breaks out in front of them. But this line sitting at 12.5 as a favorite here to Alabama, 57.5 as a total. LSU getting it together, Joe, in offense, back-to-back game, scoring 45 points.
Yeah, great. Nice job so far here, LSU. Really good stuff.
Come on, but, Brian.
Are we really comparing the Heisman winner to Jaden Daniels? Because ultimately, that's what it's going to have to come down to. Which quarterback is going to be able to make plays? Both defenses are stout, no doubt there. Brian Kelly, he's had some issues taking on Nick Saban teams in the past over there at Notre Dame. I think this will be close early, but I do think ultimately too much talent at the quarterback position for Alabama, and he will absolutely run away with this game late, and Alabama gets it done by, shall we say, more than 3 scores.
Yeah, and if we take a look at Alabama as well, sitting in that sixth spot here at 7-1, they also want to leave no doubt, already having a loss. Running teams up the flagpole helps voters feel a little bit more confident putting you in if there is a question mark between you, Team A, and another team being Team B that might be in a similar spot with maybe even a better record here. Let's take a look at Clemson and Notre Dame. Line seems a little bit low here. Clemson is a -3.5-point favorite as they head up the South Bend. But take a look at this, Joe. The line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a 53 for the total. It sits at 44.5. You say, whoa, major suspension players? No. Rain and heavy wind in the forecast this weekend up in South Bend.
Yep, got to know it. And then it's going to come down to which team is going to be able to run the ball. And boy, oh boy, they ran it really well against Syracuse, didn't they, Notre Dame? And we know Shipley and company, they can get it rolling downhill as well with Clemson. So the over, the total there, it's dropped for a reason. And then it's going to come down to which quarterback do we think can make a play. DJ can run the ball. I wouldn't trust him throwing a pass to you or a frisbee for that much. But I do know that he can do his best Cam Newton impersonation and just rush for 120 yards. That's how good he is on the ground and running. This is going to be I think it's going to be like watching paint dry. It's going to be all running, more running, defense running. Yeah, don't be surprised if it's 12-7 by the fourth quarter.
How about this one? You're right. It is going to be a lower scoring game for what we anticipate here tonight. So it'll be fun to watch because I do like to watch a game in the elements. Now, if I have an over ticket in my pocket and it's 3-0 at the half and nobody can move it, not so entertaining. But certainly, if you don't have it in that betting marches, you can look for something to have fun with. Now, Michigan Rutgers, probably not going to be that fun if you're betting Rutgers in this game, even though Rutgers does have 4 wins on the season. But the question is Michigan here, sitting in that 5 spot again. You're going to get Ohio State at the end of the year. You beat them, you're going to go in if you're undefeated. Yep. But you still don't want to leave any doubts if any other team is close. At Rutgers, home against Nebraska. Should be 2 easy victories. But also, they face Illinois, which is having a very good season in the Big Ten, and ranked now in the top 20 before they take on Ohio State. Question to you here. Is this one of those games where Jim Harbaugh just says, you know what, pound these guys into oblivion 42-0?
You know it's coming because, yes, style points matters. And as it is, you know Harbaugh is going to be using the top 4 team in the country? I mean, we were runner-up last year, right? Yada, yada. He's going to play all of that where maybe he's feeling a little disrespected by the initial rankings. And he'll use that to his advantage. And he understands the game of style points here at this point in the season. I would anticipate this is going to be another bloodbath. And I would expect all those top 5-6 teams, when they have games against lesser opponents, expect they're not going to take it easy on anybody. It's at this point now, it's balls to the wall there, Donnie.
Yeah, and how about this? Let's take a look quickly because we went over some of the top games, and it is intriguing on some of the outside, vantage points you have to take a look at to bet who needs it more, who needs to run a team up, and sometimes it makes a difference. To make the college football playoff, if we're looking at some of the prices, Georgia, a -700 to make it in. Ohio State, the same thing, at a -700. Alabama at a +115. And TCU, as we talked about, unbeaten on the season, a 5-1 to get in. Any thoughts on any one of those teams making in? If you could get some money down on those, what makes some sense? Because even Michigan is a +210 price, Joe.
Yeah, Michigan to me is anything at plus money is the play there. TCU, I don't think has enough horses to be able to get it done when it's all said, when the final tally is there.
We covered it all on a Wednesday as usual. Joe Ranieri, the Iron Man on the Sports Grid Network, up with us. Thank you for showing up and doing your job, Joe. Up next, listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for the early line on a Wednesday on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, 7 to 9 a.m., carrying you through to set up your Sports Grid day before we hand it over to the morning after coming up next, the World Series in town. You guys know, once again, I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan. I'm wearing red today. It's been a great ride, up 2-1 on the Houston Astros. We'll see what happens there. The NFL, we previewed it this weekend, where some of those lines will end up, and a massive college football card this weekend. But something happens each and every year in the first week of November, and that's the legend of Maction. Listen up. Yes, we love football, and particularly football in the months of October, November, and December, where the elements start to change. But one thing happened, I'd say maybe a decade or so ago, Maction began. No, it's not just every Saturday afternoon, the Mac Football Conference playing each other. They decided to partner up with ESPN and say, we'll play football on Tuesday and Wednesday when not much is going on. Now, the shame of it is this year that the World Series continues to get pushed back and being played now in the first few weeks of November. So me, being a Philadelphia Phillies fan, probably going to be watching much more of that game than I am Maction. But nonetheless, two games last night, two games tonight, each and every week there that goes on, Maction is stupendous. And if you remember about 10 to 15 years ago, there was a guy by the name of Jordan Lynch that played for Northern Illinois. Absolutely sensational. First team All-American, by the way, back then as well. Back-to-back seasons. And so many times did you watch Maction on Tuesday and Wednesday, you had to tune in until the last second because you had no idea if somebody was going to score, blow a cover, or blow your side of the bet. And also keep in mind, injuries don't matter. The backup quarterbacks always seemed like they were better than the starting quarterbacks. And who cared what down you were in? Third and 19 felt just like a third and one because nobody could play defense. And by the way, those Jordan Lynch years, junior year, 1,800 yards on the ground. Senior year, 1,900 yards on the ground. He was a quarterback. My goodness, Maction provides everything you need. And once again, we'll be on tonight. Stay tuned for the morning after coming up next. And go Phillies.